Jesus, we praise you. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless you, Lord. We're going to worship in a little bit. It's the third week in a row. We started with the word first, and towards the end, you guys were real hungry to worship, so we're just going to continue the trend. I thank God for his word. The book of Proverbs will really teach you so much about comments, about speaking out of line. How many of you know that we can speak out of line sometimes? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you think that we always feel that our opinion matters? How many of you know that our opinion doesn't matter? Jesus didn't speak opinion. He spoke what he heard his father tell him to speak. He spoke out of that born-again spirit. I was reading something today, real quick. I'm not going. And you take this how you want. I'm not going to keep you long. Deidre said there's a good basketball game on tonight, and I don't want to make Deidre mad. Listen to what the word says in Proverbs chapter 12. I don't know about you, but I could hear that all day long. This is what Proverbs says. Now, don't get mad at me. The Word of God says this. Whoever loves instruction, this is instruction here, the law really, loves knowledge. Listen to this. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. Listen to this. But he who hates correction is this. Is, what's this say? Anybody got their Bible? Is what? Stupid. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction is stupid. So does that mean we have the right, when we go uptown and ask somebody to read the Bible, they say no, we have a right to call them stupid? Hey, buddy, you read the Bible? Nah, you stupid, man. Well, you know, it's not really talking to believers here, to a believer that's complacent. That's not what it's making reference to. It's making reference to a man who has no regard for God. But at the same token, if you have a believer that's lazy in his word, habitually, he dang sure can't be too intelligent. But he says here, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Hallelujah. Are you stupid today? The book of Proverbs has been teaching me a lot. I'm a jokester, man. I love making people laugh. I guess that's where my little boy David gets it from. David, he's one of a kind. And he gets it from me. To the extent that he's a comedian, and I like making people laugh. I can be at a baseball, being a Mockley Indian baseball dad, you got to have a sense of humor because we're usually terrible in baseball. So you got to make jokes at games because we're always losing. But I like having fun. I like making people laugh. And I don't try. It just happens. I just say things. They just come out. But Proverbs really is teaching me so much, the book of Proverbs, about concealing matters, about being slow to speak. See, we think we know everything, you know, in general. I don't. Well, if we didn't think we knew everything, then we'd be quiet sometimes and just take that deep breath. That's anything the Lord showed me the last year, is how to operate according to what's within, out of that born-again spirit. I think Alex has been ministered to a lot. We talk a lot at work about, you know, I taught Alex real good how to debate. And now that I stopped debating, I wanted him to stop debating, but he wouldn't stop debating because I stopped debating. So I said, keep praying in tongues and you'll stop debating. See, I couldn't change him. Because nobody changed me but the Holy Ghost. And those hours in tongues will change you. They'll make that adjustment inside of you. But reading Proverbs, man, it's the book of knowledge and wisdom. You know, I touched a little bit on trusting God. You know, now that we're born again, there's something inside of us that says yea or nay according to sin, but we still need a download of His Word in our heart on a consistent basis. It's vital. I mean, you try living a peaceful Christian life outside of His Word, outside of that daily communion with His Word. I mean, like I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, there's no condemnation if we don't pray. God isn't in heaven judging, but there ain't no happiness either. You try living your life without rubbing shoulders with Jesus. It's not much fun. But it's common, though, it's common to hear in the body of Christ from A to Z that their trust is in God. It's common. That's a common saying in God. And it sounds real good. But unfortunately, trusting in God, something completely different than what we think trusting in God is. And I'm going to get pinpoint tonight. And not with anybody in here, not at all. But I'm going to read something to you, and then we're going to worship the Lord. And then we're going to hear the... Listen to this real quick. Just Proverbs 22. I'm not going to keep you long. I'll probably maybe 30 minutes at the most. Proverbs 22 and 17. Listen carefully. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. This is the words of the wise, the Bible. In other words, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Listen to me carefully, I beg you. If you want to learn something about God, the Father, you'll listen tonight. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. When I sit down to read my Bible every day, guess what I'm doing? I'm inclining my ear to the words of the wise. When I read John, when I read Matthew, Galatians, Ephesians, I'm inclining my ear to hear God's word. You should incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. What is a pleasant thing? Listen to this. It is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Listen to this now. Incline your ear, hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing. Listen to this. It is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things, which is His word? Have I not written to you, Courtney, excellent things of counsels and knowledge? That I may make you know certainty of the words of truth. That you may answer words of truth to those who sin to you. Listen to this now. He's telling us the importance of me and you embracing God's word. Trusting in God is not something that comes out of our mouth. I get real confused. In the last 3 or 4 months, I've took a lot of time off of Facebook because it blows my mind how I can't comprehend it. I can't understand it. How a believer one day can quote a Bible verse and the next they just go completely secular on me. I get mad, so I stay off of it. I just can't comprehend. I got more respect for a sinner that'll cuss me dead in my face and tells me what he feels about me than for a Christian. Because we sin mixed emotions to the world. We sin mixed emotions to the world. And trusting in God is not a cliche. It's not something that... It's common to the church to say that I trust in God with all my heart. I trust God for my miracle. I trust God for my healing. Well, the same place where you trust God for your miracle, the same place where you trust God for your healing, is the same place that we're to trust Him when He asks us to do something for Him or not to do something. The same place where He asked me to love Deidrin is the same place in me where I believe God for a miracle. If there's inconsistencies in my life, loving you, I'm going to have a hard time receiving a miracle from God the Father. I was in worship this morning. And I don't like, I'll be honest with you, I'll be flat out honest. I could hear him play for worship the whole service. A lot of the songs, and in my personal opinion, this is just my opinion, a lot of songs are about God and not songs to him. Songs of adoration. I don't want to hear a song that lets me know that I used to be bad, now I'm doing good. And I like hearing songs of worship that talk about his goodness. I don't like songs that talk about that I used to be in a valley. No, no, no. Worship is about glorifying God. Worship is about giving him praise out of our priesthood. And I was in worship this morning, and I'm real particular about the light songs I like to hear for worship. I really am. I don't care who's doing it. But this is the thing. If I need a good song to worship God, then I'm living off emotion. And if I have to have a good song to touch my emotion to worship him, then in life, when I'm told to overcome sin, I'm going to live that instruction out of emotion. See, I should be able to worship God during any song, regardless. If I sit down during worship and don't do nothing, I'm worshiping Jesus Christ from a place of emotion. And if I worship him from a place of emotion when I don't feel like doing good, guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to do good. Our relationship with Jesus is based on nothing more but truth. That truth that lives inside of me and you. Trusting God. I trust God with all my heart. Trusting God with all your heart is living a life of obedience in him. Living a life where all you want to do is please the Father. Or all you want to do in life is the right thing. Or all you want to do in life is love your brothers and your sisters. You know the ultimate way to judge somebody on their walk with Jesus Christ is their love for other people. If you can't love your brother, then your love for Christ, no matter what you say, is minimal. Because loving God is only based on keeping the instruction from within. It's time for God's church to step up to a place of communion with him where all we want to do is obey what's right. We're called to be difference makers. We're called to be separate, not like the world. We should be completely opposite from the world. Our young ladies, our young men should be proud to be chaste, to be young men that practice separation, young women that practice separation from a man. Somebody told me after I preached about 3 weeks ago, and it really, well, it didn't hurt me, but I just said, wow, the Bible says that love is obeying God, and this person said that I was being too religious. What's the word I'm looking for, Alex? Too legalistic. Well, they called obedience legalism, but the Bible called obedience love. Oh, I won't be legalistic, they said. Legalistic means, what's a good terminology for legalistic, Dilly? How can I explain it? Doing it why? Because, what is it? Anybody? How can I use that term? Anybody? Huh? How can I use it? No,
following the law, following
rules. Okay, yeah, there you go. Just, I'm following the law. Well, this is the thing. This is the thing now. Well, that's good, following a law, just because I have to. In other words, people say, well, I love God because I love him. I won't be legalistic. Well, let's think about this. This is how we know that we love one another. If we keep his commandments. There's some things that we can do just because we have to do. That's not legalism. Just being dogmatic about it. There's just some things we got to do as parents. We can't take a shovel and dig their grave for them because we don't want drama or because we don't want resistance. Nobody likes resistance. Nobody likes tension in the home. But sometimes as a man or as a woman of God, you got to make that conscious decision. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. That, my friends, is trusting God. Is doing what you know to be right, even when you don't feel like it. With me and you on our everyday walk with God, there's some things that we know we shouldn't do in Christ, but we do them because the emotion's there that leans toward doing what's not right towards the Father. We live our life off emotion. That's why it's so vital to learn how to worship, even when you don't like the song, because when those emotions are battling your mind, you can still lift up your hands and say, Jesus, I love you. That's why I purposely sat here today when Renee and Harry and Robert were singing away real loud. I sat there on purpose for about 20 minutes reading the Bible, even while they were so loud, to train myself that I can still read God's Word even with noise around me. Though it was excellent noise and good noise. But we have to learn. See, it's easy to make the right decision when you feel like it. It's another thing to make the right decision when you don't feel like it. Trusting in God is obeying God. Trusting in God is obeying His Word. Trusting in God is not a cliche. Trusting in God is not something that we just spit out of the mouth because it's the right Christian thing to do. Trusting in God is obeying all that He is within me and you. Trusting in God is depositing this holy Word inside of us and being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. There'll come a point in time in your life where you'll want to do what's right in Him. And it gets easier and easier to do what's right in Him the more we put this Word inside of our heart, being transformed into it. Trusting in God is doing what's right even when you don't feel like doing it. Even when you face every emotion from hell, yet you still stand firm because something inside of you is crying out, this is the way it's done, Homer. Have you failed? Yes, I've failed. And I've learned by my failures. I told this young man that God, and I spend more time with Alex than with Renee because me and Alex work together. I've told Alex time and time again, and sometimes he understood, sometimes he didn't. I said, son, learn from my what? I said, learn from my mistakes in life and from the pulpit. Learn from my mistakes. I learn from my mistakes because when I make a mistake, and I just go back to His counsel that fills me with His wisdom and knowledge. I'm not the perfect dad. I'm not the perfect husband. I'm not the perfect employee, but I know where perfect information can be found. And I want to be that man that makes, Melody, that right decision, even when those emotions are contrary to what I know is right. That's why it's so vital to put God's Word in you. Because that way you got something to draw out of during adversity. Proverbs says that if your adversity fails, if you fail during adversity, he said your spirit, you're weak, it says. See, who we are is not who we are when things are good. Who we are in God is what comes out of us during adversity. It's easy to quote a scripture on Facebook. It's real easy. You don't believe me? Log on to Facebook. Log on. I deleted a whole bunch of people this past week. I deleted a bunch of them. Especially Christians that always find it that they have to use the F word. I just flat out deleted them. One of them asked me the other day, did you delete me? I said, yep, I sure did. Will you add me again? Nope, I sure not. Trusting in God is not a cliche. As men, we wear wedding bands to show the world that we're married. But I don't have to look at a wedding band to be faithful to my wife. That faithfulness lives within my heart. Wherever I go, she's with me. It's the same thing. It's not a Jesus t-shirt that's going to convince me that I'm a Christian. It's the inward work of God in me, the hope of glory. That's wherever I go, that conscience is with me. Trusting in God is living according to what's right, not according to what I feel. It breaks my heart that in the body of Christ, there's a 51% divorce rate, exactly like it is in the world. Maybe now even a little more in the church. In the church, man. You fight for your marriage. Now, there's some instances where you just, it's hopeless. You are steward. You control how much you fight for your marriage. Trusting in God is a 100% lifestyle in doing what's right when we feel like it, and doing what's right even when you don't feel like it. I mean, you know, at times in our lives that we know to do right and we just don't feel like it sometimes. Amen? But even then, it's still sin. Because our lifestyle in Him is not based on emotion. If it was, then we would have an excuse. Integrity, righteousness, is doing what's right when nobody's around. Integrity and righteousness is doing what's right even when you don't feel like it. But the majority of the church, they'll do what's opposite of right because there's no sudden recompense. It's all by grace, I'm forgiven. Repenting of your sin is making a 360-degree turn opposite of what you just did. It's not walking back into it. It's walking away from it. But we've lost our compassion. We've lost our love for God the Father. How do you know? You see the results of the body of Christ. You see the lifestyles. It's going to get worse, my friends, in the church. It's so vital that you trust God for who He is, and you can't trust God for who He is lest you carry who He is inside of you. That's why it's so vital to put God's Word in you, because if you put God's Word in you, Deidrin, if I stay up for a couple hours tonight and read His Word, tomorrow when I drive my 200 miles like I usually do all over Southwest Florida, the Word that I read on Sunday night, it's going to go with me, Deidre, down the road to Clewiston. The power that I read is going to be inside of me, and I'm going to take it with me wherever I go. Words like, scriptures like, concealing a matter, a man that covers a matter seeks love. But one who repeats a matter separates friends. Scriptures like, the heart of the righteous teaches his lips. We just got to be so patient in our walk with God on what we hear and what we say. Incorporate the 3-second rule. You're carrying a conversation with somebody and they say something to you. Take that deep breath. Okay, this is what I want you to do, Alex. I want you to say, did you hear the latest on Deidrin? I want you to stand up and just, and there's nothing with Deidrin. I'm just, this is an example. Say it loud. Say, hey, homie, did you hear the latest on Deidrin?
Did you hear the latest on Deidrin?
Yeah, I heard it, man. Maybe they, did you hear the latest on Deidrin? I fired away right away. I didn't even give a second to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I just gave in to gossip. Now, get up and ask me again. Yeah, I heard it. It breaks my heart because I know God has something for Deidrin. That 3-second rule will give you a chance to take that deep breath. And you'll know what to say and what not to say if you just wait on the instruction of that born-again spirit. Even when it comes to Scripture. Quoting Scripture isn't always correct. But love is always correct. Yeah, I heard about Deidrin, Alex. But you know what, Alex? You don't know what Deidrin's going through. You don't know what he's going through. But I got faith, Alex, that Deidrin, the young man that I know, is going to come out of this mess. So instead of going on to talk about what Deidre's doing, Alex, come here, let's just hold hands in the spirit and let's pray for our brother. Take that 3-second rule. Because he who covers sin seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. That, my friends, is trusting God. Somebody sins against you. It's not our place to tell somebody what Deidrin did or what Delia did or Rosie or Melanie. Hey, Renee, come here. I got to talk to you. You know Melanie. I love her with all my heart. She's a good missionary. She's called to do this. Oh, yeah. Oh, but you just don't know, Renee. Come here. What you mean I don't know? Tell me. Take that 3-second rule. And you'll know what to say and what not to say. Because he who covers sin seeks love. If I repeat what I know about her, well, guess who knows everything about me? Jesus. Jesus didn't whisper in your ear where my struggles are at. So how dare me whisper in your ear what Melody's struggles are? I'm to cover what I know. If I cover or don't tell you what I know, and the Bible says that man seeks love. But if I repeat that matter, I separate friends. Last verse here. And I shared it again last week, but I'm going to repeat it again today. He who has knowledge spares his words. It's Proverbs 17. He who has knowledge spares his words. Listen to this now. What are we looking for? What does it mean to trust God? I can't trust God for a miracle in my life. Maybe you can. I know I can't. And then drink a 12-pack on Saturday night. Because the God that I asked to heal my baby, the same God that asked me not to drink that 12-pack. So trusting in God is nothing more than keeping His word. He who has knowledge spares his words. A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Listen to this. Listen to this. Even a fool, Melody, is counted wise when he holds his peace. He shuts his lips. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. He shuts his lips. A fool is a person without the knowledge of God. Even a fool that's without the knowledge of God knows sometimes in his life he has to be quiet. He said even that fool that's ignorant of God's ways, he's counted wise when he doesn't comment on certain situations. That's hard to do. You know why? Because we're used to commenting on things. It seems to be our nature. But the Bible says even a fool is counted wise when you hold your peace, when you don't repeat a matter. That, my friends, is trusting God. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. He shuts his lips. Cover matters. Don't repeat them. And a person that's dying to hear that matter is just as worse as the one that said the matter. They're both fools. Trusting in God is not a cliche, but we've made it a cliche. Trusting in God is keeping His word. That loving word that lives right inside of our spirit that comes forth every day. Trusting in God is not watching, or we're not supposed to watch. Well, I just did it because no, there wasn't no trust in God. You went with what you wanted to do more than what He wanted you not to do. That's trusting in God. Trusting in God is doing everything that me and you know to be right. And separating ourselves from everything that we know to be wrong. Because what you're listening to is the voice of God instructing me and you on our day-to-day walk. That's what trusting in God is. That's why it's so vital to put His Word inside of us to change us and mold us and mend us into His image. The more you put His Word in you, the easier your walk gets with God. Proverbs 12 said, a man that doesn't read the Bible more or less, he says he's just stupid. But he was talking to a heathen, not really to the church, but my God, I think we can use that application sometimes. You know why he says you're stupid? Because you're thinking that your wisdom, your human wisdom, far exceeds the wisdom of God. We can't live off what we know outside of the Bible because there is no hope. There's no hope to please Jesus. There's no hope in me and you. We can't learn to transform our mind into the image of God and to walk according to His Word. He's called me and you to a place of trusting Him. And trusting Him is nothing more than doing what's right habitually according to His Word. If me holding on to my marriage, and then I'm just using an example. If me holding on to my marriage because it's right in the eyes of God, then let me be a legalist. Let me be filled with legalism. But I told my wife the day that we got married, we will never, ever divorce. Well, you don't know what I've been through. That's why you should have married the right wife. You just don't. You don't know my wife. Maybe I don't know you. Because I know this, that a woman, if she's treated, and I'm far from being the perfect husband, a woman, if she's treated with dignity and respect, will do anything in the world for you. Well, you don't know my wife. No, but God knows your wife. Actually, He told you she wasn't your wife before you called her your wife. Well, you don't know my husband. Well, actually, God knows your husband. He told you, whispered in your ear, that he wasn't the man for you, but you let your hormones kick in. How many times, Melody, I mean, I know you don't date much. I know your story. How many times have you thought that was the one, but something inside of you said he's not the one? Has that been the case a few times in your life? You wanted him to be the one, right? Because he had a body like me and Deidre. You thought he was maybe for a while, and then you got in that place of intimacy with God and you knew that he wasn't. She might have saved herself years of disaster. God knows everything about me and you, about who we need. We're His sons and His daughters. All we're obligated to do is to hear that wisdom that lives from within. But my friend, if there's no peace, if there's no worship, if there's no edification, if there's no quiet times with Him, you're going to go with the flesh. Because your life is based on emotion and not truth. But you just don't own my circumstance. You might be right, but somewhere down the road, God whispered to you, as a loving father does, to try to lead you in the right direction. It's not His fault there was lack of peace in your heart to hear His words of perfection. It's not His fault. I'm done in 5 minutes. I talked to Carl Ellie in, where'd we go? Louisiana, where we went to see him. And Carl's, you know, good looking young man, muscular young man, and I say, Carl, got your girlfriend yet? Oh, man, you know, man. You know I don't need no girl. I said, are you gay, son? I said, that's what I asked him. No, for real. I said, Carl, you got your, you know, that big old smile from ear to ear. Man, I'm just worried about the Lord, my dog. You know how Carl talks. What? Man, I got it. The Lord, that's my dog, my Holy Ghost, that's my boy. Son, are you gay, son? No, man, I ain't gay. And then he said, then it dawned on me. I said, what's wrong? Man, I'm just praying in tongues. And the Lord just sort of took some of that from me. When I get a girlfriend, she's going to be the one that I know is right for me. And I forgot. I said, wow, this young man has been praying for hours in tongues. We went to go eat at a restaurant. And again, I haven't even told him this. We went to go eat at a restaurant. And Carl will tell somebody about Jesus everywhere he goes. Whether he's on or off, he's going to tell somebody about Jesus. Whether they want to hear it or not, he's going to tell somebody about that. Now he's learning, though, to work according to the unction. Now, you might disagree with that, but that's fine. But Jesus ministered according to the unction. And there was a guy in there telling Carl, or he started to tell Carl, about all these things that certain kids were doing in our town. Carl stopped him and said, I don't need to know all that. You know, God in him rose up at that moment and said, son, don't listen to it. That, my friends, is trusting in God. Carl, are you ready for a wife? Yeah, he thinks he's all fine and stuff. Man, all I'm worried about my boy Jesus. I've been praying, and he has. Because he says very little sometimes about his own life. You figure a kid is going to play Division I football and play running back but want to talk about football when all he wants to talk about is Jesus. Some of the things that I've said to you tonight, I've made those mistakes in life. Learn from my mistakes in these closing words. Learn from my mistakes. God has a mate for you. A husband, a godly wife for you. God has that right workplace for you. God has the right school for you. Take the time to lift up your hands and say, Father, I'm real close to Deidre. I really consider him my son. Never have I once told him. He knows I love Miami. He knows I do. But never once in my life have I told him or any of the other kids where to go to school at. That's his decision. And his decision should be based on his decision. Because God knows where Deidre belongs. All Deidre's obligated to do is just lift up his hands. Say, Father, I don't know where I belong, but I know you have a plan for me, Jesus. Lead me where I need to go, Father. And if Deidre is patient and he waits on God's wisdom, he'll know where to go. Miss Melody's 30, no, she's a young lady. She's 34, hey, there you go. 34 years young. I'm sure there's days she thinks, God, where's that man of God? I don't know where he's at because that ain't God. But I'm telling you, my father, her father, has a husband for my sister. He just can't make decisions based on emotion. That's why the church is in trouble. We make decisions based on emotion. If I feel it, I'm going to do it. If I don't feel God, then I'm not going to apply God. How did Jesus make it through the cross and through hell? He didn't even have the Holy Ghost. How did he make it through 3 days of agony? How did he make it? He didn't have Jason Upton praying, you are holy in hell, as he was maligned and molested by devils. What kept Jesus? What kept him walking with integrity even in hell? What can't you take from a man? You can't take the word of God that lives in his soul. If that word lives in your soul, no one can take it from you. Wherever you go, that word goes. Jesus took the word of God right in his soul, right into hell, and still operated in righteousness. Why? Because his soul was full of the word. That's why there's failure. The body lacks God's word in their soul. They lack transformation into the image of God. That's why a young lady can't, life can't exist without a boyfriend. Or a young man says, life can't exist without a girlfriend. Yes, it can. In Jesus, it's easy. Last minute, I'm done for sure. It was my wife's 41st birthday. How long ago, baby? A month ago? When was it? Huh? Same thing, a couple weeks, a month, same thing. And I wrote her a love letter on Facebook. I forgot, I said, happy birthday to my 41-year-old, to my 41-year young wife. I said, forgot what I said. I said, you still burn the biscuits. You sort of still can't cook. I said, but after 41 years, baby, you still turn me on. I said, I know I'm away on vacation. I mean, I'm away at work on your birthday. I had to leave for a week to go work. I said, but after all these years, baby, you're still the most beautiful woman on the face of this earth. Much love, Homer. What, did you read it, my Melody? You didn't catch that on Facebook? You read it, right? But I tell you guys, I tell you this, and we're going to worship. Through Jesus Christ, things that you think weren't attainable are attainable and fulfilled in Him. I never gave my life to Jesus because I never thought I could stop drinking. I drank at least a six-pack every single day. And once I started on Friday, I'd go till Sunday. I put so much cocaine in my nose, you could kill a horse with it. I said, there's no way I can give up this beer. There's no way I can give up my pornography. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. The very next day, pornography was gone. Six beers every single day just to calm my nerves. Now I'm pornography free and alcohol free. Thanks to one man whose name is Jesus Christ. I never thought that I could be faithful to one wife. But in the 20-something years that I've been married, I've been with one woman. I can say it proudly and gladly. And that has been my wife. All these things, they're not to be commended. It's just part of being a Christian, man. I'm not doing her a favor by not cheating on her. That's just the way it is. That's the way I want it to be. And through Jesus Christ, all the things that you think you can't accomplish in life, if you give Him the time, my friends, oh, He'll transform you into His image and you'll fulfill everything that you know to be right in Him. We just can't live off our emotions because emotions will get you in trouble. We got to live off truth. His word is truth. Doing what's right is trusting in God. Not saying what's right or confessing what's right. Doing what's right is trusting in God. Let's live holy before Him. Let's live holy before Him. I want to, Pastor Mother, if you want to, sit down tonight and let your journey in Him begin. By praying in tongues as much as you can. By putting this word inside of you as much as you can. 5 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day. The more you pray, the more you spend time with Him, the more you that dissolves. Learn from my mistakes. Learn from my mistakes. Don't live your life according to emotion. Because you'll fail. The majority of your life, your time in Him, you'll fail. Because you're going to go with what you feel, not with what you know. He said, I trust God with all my heart, that person said. I could have sworn you had a 12-pack of Budweiser Tall Boys on the cover of Facebook. Oh, Homer, quit being judgmental. I'm not God's word to being judgmental. Trusting in God would be not drinking that 12-pack. Trusting in God with all your heart would be not drinking that 12-pack. That's what trusting in God would be. Not drinking it, getting drunk, getting up, and going to church the next day. See, you kick trust out the door and you pop that first can. Trusting in God is doing what is right in Him. Amen. Before we go home, God, let's just give God a little praise tonight for your journey in Him. And really, before Almighty God, you know, whether people think different, not one person here that's on my heart tonight. The things that come to my mind are the things that I preach. I don't come in here with you on my mind. But one thing I do hate, I'm sure you know, is I do hate divorce because it cripples a family. Especially when there's children involved, it cripples a family because there's a long time that people to recover sometimes from divorce. But let's live and do what's right in Him, and let's please our God in works by doing what's right. Amen. So before we go home, the guys are going to come up and lead us in a little worship tonight. Let's just celebrate. Celebrate what? That God isn't mad at you, man. No matter how many times you failed, or maybe you're not failing, maybe you're doing good, it doesn't matter. Let's just celebrate that we got an awesome God that wants to wash us in His blood and forgive us of any sin that we might have committed. And He'll give me and you a fresh new start tonight in Him. Why? Because He can do it. Because He's the Lord. So guys, come on up and lead us in some worship. Be sensitive in the spirit. And guys, let's just come up and worship God a little before we go home. So we bless you, Father. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Bless you, O God. We bless you, O God. Bless you, O God. We bless you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
Bless you, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah,
Father. Worship you, Lord.
Jesus. Give our hearts unto you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. This is my desire.